This podcast is brought to you by Kefir Her. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information and insights on kefirher.com.
Hi, I'm Renee.
And I'm Donna. Welcome to the Key for Her podcast.
In this series, we aim to educate and open up honest conversations with both medical professionals and real life women.
We want to shine a light on those topics that sometimes go unspoken about and help empower women to know what is key for their health and well-being. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Key for Her podcast. Today, we talk with Linda Kearney. Linda is a mom of two and a Kefir Her customer. She also runs the Me and My Disease social media platform, where she discusses her journey with physical and mental health.
Hi, Linda, and thanks so much for joining us on the Kefir Her podcast.
Hi, girl.
Linda. You're coming from Cork.
Yep. The real rebel country.
The rebel country. Linda is a key customer of ours. We've known her for some months now, and she's been on the products with great success. And we're delighted to have her on today to chat about her journey so far and her perimenopause journey and just her health and wellness in general. So thanks a million for coming on. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You also have this Instagram page and you're on TikTok as well. So you talk about me and my dis-ease because you're not at ease, and we can totally understand that. So tell us a little bit more about, I suppose, why you did that and a bit of a background in your health and wellness journey so far.
Okay.
How you found us, I suppose, as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. This is, you're great girls for doing what you're doing and getting this out there, because I think a lot of women are afraid to actually speak up. So basically, I'm 48. I'm from Cork. I married with two children, 17 and 15. My background really is I was a dancer and loved it, did it all my life. Back in 2007, we found out I was obviously carrying a beautiful baby girl, and unfortunately, she was there was a tumor growing on her head. So at 35 weeks, I was told that she was brain dead or she wouldn't survive the birth. So it was a very surreal kind of experience for me, because I had a 2.5-year-old at the time, which was very hard to juggle. So thank God family came in and kind of helped. I adopted a very positive attitude, and I think that carries me through things in life even now. I know it's easier said than done, but I sometimes think it was her inside me. Had my kind of grieving for 3 days and kind of said, right, I think she's actually fine. Fast forward the birth, I was to have her in Dublin. I went into labor here. They were going to airlift me to Dublin, but thankfully she was born in Cork. They had to put me under sedation, general anesthetic, and they literally sliced me in half to take her out because the tumor was too big to come out. So there was a lot of trauma involved there. I don't know, the universe, whoever was up there, but it actually didn't burst into her brain, even though I was told to burst into her brain. So she's now 15, and we had a long road. There's a few things that are after cropping up there in the last few years that look, again, I'm trying to adopt the whole positive attitude, you know, and listen, it's easier said than done. I have another girl then that turns 18 in December, and for the past 5 years has chronic mental health issues. It's been very, very hard, very tough. I have a husband who's a workaholic. So many women out there will probably understand that, you know, it's everything is kind of left to me in terms of the family. So look, it's been tough. I lost a business that I set up myself with family in 2018. And that was a massive blow to me because it was in the fitness industry. I got my personal training degree in 2014 and I was living the best life, to be fair. I did a lot of charity events to give back to the guys in Crumlin and the CUH, and I was just going along and happy out and doing my dancing. And at 2017, I always had pains and aches, always. I was always in and out of physio, but that comes with dancing. You're coming from a dancing background. It comes with it. So I didn't take any notice of it. And I didn't have time to kind of sit down and go, God, what's that? What's this? You know? So I had a really good doctor at the time, but she was Dr. Pixie. I don't know, do you know her? She But she was actually a good friend of mine. We became very close. And unfortunately, she took off to the UK. And, you know, that's... I was literally going to follow her. She kind of was coming back and forth then from the UK to Ireland, and it just wasn't suiting her because it was crazy the hours she was doing. So I had to go in search of a new GP, which was fairly difficult. Found a GP that I connected with, which was great. And in 2018, I was kind of back and forth, and there was an awful lot of stuff happening that didn't make sense to me. I got very down. I was beginning to feel very hopeless. Now, this wouldn't be me. I'm a very glass full kind of a girl.
So when you think about it, was that 2017? So technically that was just 5 years ago. So you were 43 then at the time.
Okay. It was literally, And like, I would have been, like we'd say, when I was probably about 39, 40, 41, I was in the fittest stage of my life. You know, I was extremely fit. I was dancing. I was just fit and happy and healthy to what I thought. I wouldn't have thought about perimenopausal. Now, to be fair, I've got two sisters, two wonderful sisters, and one in particular who has been through hell and earth and through menopause without any help and actually wrote a book. She's actually a life coach and she's been my complete and utter anchor. She's just, I go to her first before I go to the doctor.
Is she your older sister, is it?
She's my older sister, Emily. And she's been a kind of a rock to me, to be fair. She's just, she does a lot of research. And like that, we were both diagnosed when I was 18 and when she was 18. Now she'd be 6 years on me. She was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay.
Like I was. Look, it affected me weight-wise, hormonally, facial-wise, with hair, moods. And like that, at the time, I went to the doctor and here you go. There's Diagnet, the pill, and put on the pill for 2-3 years, put up 5 or 6 stone. Now, this was back when I was 18. Then I was then put on Prozac at 18. I know I'm jumping stories, but I suppose a significant part of it when I was 18 was the hormonal side of it, which would have been the polycystic ovarian syndrome. My periods would have been quite regular. They were probably 35, 36 days, extreme pain, and would last 7 days and very heavy. Got all the tests done. You know, there were so many things they thought was wrong with me. They were thinking Cushing's disease, this, that, and the next. Thankfully, it was polycystic ovarian syndrome. Could be treated, but like that diet and healthy balanced meals and stuff like that was going to help. Fast forward, then I was told I'd never have children, won't have children. And thankfully I had two girls, no problem whatsoever. And then back to when I was in, back to literally in 2017, 2018, that's when all these little things started to creep in.
So and don't they just creep in over time?
Yes.
It's only by looking retrospectively back to you kind of go, oh, yes, now I know what it was.
So what were the first things that you started to notice?
So pain all over my body, tiredness. I could be sitting watching the Smurfs and I'd be screaming crying. Bonkers stuff, you know. My daughters might say, oh, mammy, you look really nice today. And I'd be crying, you know,
very emotional.
stuff like, you know, just very quick tempered. Now I am an Aries, so so I tend to have no patience. But I was more, now at the time, I wasn't thinking this. I wasn't going, Jesus, Linda, you're very hormonal today. Or, Jesus, Linda, you're very emotional. I just kind of got on with my life because...
Yeah, it was subtle enough, even yes. though it felt yeah. extreme when it happened, I suppose. You just kind of, as a woman, you're sort of used to mad things.
So yeah, absolutely.
Move on, and you're so busy anyway, you don't have time. You just
pick it off, absolutely. Yeah. And in 2018, I went to a consultant because I started getting, do you know when you get a fright and you get butterflies in your stomach?
Yes, like a palpitation this, yeah. type thing, is it?
But this was happening in the middle of my chest and it was like flutters. And when I say that I nearly went off my game, I nearly, genuinely nearly went off my game because they were constant in my life. And then I went to the consultant and various amounts of tests were done. I got the camera down, I got a colonoscopy, and they discovered that a lot of my bloods were out of zinc and that there was autoimmune hanging around. Obviously, I believe that that was caused from stress, because remember, I was losing a business that I had set up myself with family. There was a lot of stress there. There was a lot of argy-bargy. It was just chaotic trauma, and that's the only way I can describe it. So I was trying to hold all this together and be diagnosed with all sorts. So I was inside in a hospital in Cork, and I was anemic. So they had to put an iron infusion into me. So I came in for the day, and one of the consultants came up to me and said, Jesus Christ, this is a consultant now. You're knackered. I said, what do you mean? Your polycystic ovarian syndrome has gone very bad. No, I thought it was that big. And you've lupus. I went, what? I've lupus? I said, wait a minute. I said, I thought you told me that I didn't. That didn't turn out, you know, that the tests were all negative. No. I'll be back. I was left there on my own. No one came back to me. I called the nurse. I said, what do I do here? Someone's supposed to come back to me. Nobody came back to me. I rang my sister, and my sister was like, what? Can you not talk to someone? So in the end, they got me an outpatient appointment with a rheumatologist who was absolutely diabolical. And that's the only way I can describe it. So dismissive. Now, bear in mind, I would have went across to the UK. I would have went anywhere to get the proper diagnosis, because no one could actually properly diagnose me. I was being fobbed off with medication. And I'm very much into supplements and healthy eating and take medication only if you really need to. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that was 2018. 2018, then I was referred to another, 2018, 2019, referred to another consultant who diagnosed me with fibromyalgia and psoriatic arthritis, right?
So we've heard of other people as well being diagnosed with fibromyalgia as yes. well, and it being misdiagnosed because it was actually a lot of pain due to perimenopause symptoms.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I suppose I was unfortunate with the consultants I was getting, and I'm not here to dish any consultants because that's not my game, but I do think they need to listen a bit more to women. Mm-hmm. I think they need to be trained up on HRT. Mm-hmm. And HRT never came into my head when I'm perimenopausal. I was like, nah, this is just the autoimmune. No, this is stress. Mm-hmm. You know, my life took, you know, a lot of turns and stuff, and this is obviously just me having stress in my life, and now my body is telling me to cop on, you know? So I put up about 6 stone in weight, and that was mentally a massive bang to me, because I went from being really fit and healthy mm-hmm. to someone that could barely walk a step. And that is the reality of it. I could not walk. I remember we went away on holidays, and my kids were relatively young at the time. And I remember looking at my husband, and we were just literally walking across the road, and I couldn't walk. And I said to myself, no, this has to stop. I can't do this. So I kind of, again, went in and did a lot of research. Well, my sister did a lot of research. And we were kind of saying to ourselves, there has to be something going on here. Will we go across the seas? Will we? So then I started being afraid to go out because I didn't want people to see the condition my body was in, because I felt, when I was looking at myself in the mirror, I felt so ugly, so fat, disgusting. And then the flip side of me was, I can't be saying this out loud because my two girls are going to grow up with this.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's funny, the cycle.
Yeah.
Vicious, because they're literally, you know, kids, they're sponges. So they sponge everything. So I was having
one
this.
Of them listening to the way you, because it's funny, if you, you wouldn't let anyone speak to your daughters the way sometimes you'd speak to yourself. No. You'd go through them for a shortcut.
Yeah.
And I think 100%. People really need to stop that negative self-talk and say, would you let someone speak to your child like that? No.
Yeah.
And even speaking to yourself like that, you know, you wouldn't let anyone else speak to you like that.
No.
We speak to ourselves terribly sometimes, and it's to be very aware of that, because like you said, it was, you were stopping yourself going out. You're then in a vicious cycle of not leaving the houses. You know, you're not even getting that bit of exercise, whether it be go to the shop or whatever else. It's terrible.
It was terrible. My life was the supermarket, the chemist and the doctor surgeries. Mm-hmm. That was my life. And obviously the school runs. And I've more to give. I knew I had more to give. I'm extremely good at motivating other people. But when it came to myself at that particular time, it was like there were so many things coming in, hitting off me, that I was burnt out. I didn't know where to turn, what to do, you know. And I kind of was hopping from doctor to doctor, and they were just giving me medication. Go on this, see how you get on, and take it from there.
Well, the doctors, you obviously weren't happy, and you were hopping from doctor to doctor. Did you settle finally on anybody that you felt listened to you more than the others, and was that the main issue?
Honestly, hand in heart, no. I've settled with myself, if that makes sense. I've a consultant now that is with me and just, I suppose, does what he needs to do. I've very bad hips at the moment, so I have to get injections into them every so often, so I'll go for that reason. I was asked to go on a particular drug and I said no, because I said there's too many side effects. So I said no. I was on an injection for the psoriatic arthritis for about 2 years. After going through different types of injections, I took myself off that in July. I asked, obviously, could I come off it? And I was told you can, to see how I go. It was to clear up the psoriasis and also for the joint pain. It did absolutely nothing for the joint pain, but it did do something for the psoriasis. So it made me stop and think, hang on, there must be something going on here. Like this is not normal. If it's a case that I'm getting drugs to help with joint pain, why aren't they not working? Okay. So I was put on a drug called Cymbalta. Okay. So Cymbalta is an antidepressant that is treated for patients that have fibromyalgia. Okay. So it helped nerve pain. It did nothing for me. Absolutely zero. Now, I was probably on it about a year and a half, right? So I decided again to ring my doctor at the time, the second consultant I had, and say, listen, can I come off this and see how I work? Because I don't feel any difference with my pain. And, you know, I'm just kind of plowing along. So I came off it. He told me to come off it. So I said, do you not think I should come off it in stages? Oh, yes, yeah, you better come down off it, right? Now, this same doctor got me mixed up on a chart, yeah. So I always ask, and I think anyone out there is listening to this, please, if it's one thing you would take, get your records. Any bloods you get done, get just a copy of them. Guys, you're entitled to these, okay?
If you've talked about this in another episode, it's gas, Linda. Like, it's a real Irish thing. You'd be too afraid to ask for your record. Yeah. And so many women are just staying with doctors they're not happy with, and because they're just afraid of being rude, or they've maybe been the family doctor all their life, but when they're great for looking after the kids, but then at some point they hit perimenopause and they're not being listened to. And so,
you know, I thought I was a hypochondriac. I started actually thinking maybe it's me, You know, I actually...
A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, I actually felt embarrassed going in saying, you know, I have this wrong now. And I was told it was anxiety. Oh, do this, take that. And I'm there going, no, I'd rather not suppress what I'm doing. I'd like to be able to face into what is actually going on with me. So this doctor, I got out my file, my records, just for my own self. And on it was that I had a traumatic life, that my mother had recently died, which she had done. She died from dementia, and that she was an alcoholic. Now, my mother never drank. It's if she had a glass of Prosecco at Christmas, that was it. So I had to look at this. My mother was buried 3 months, and I'm looking at a record telling me my mother was an alcoholic and that I needed to go into counselling for this because of my traumatic upbringing. I was like, what? So I had a choice. So I actually did.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a massive kind of, hang on a second here, guys, anyone that's out there that are going, you know, regularly to the consultants and stuff, please get a copy of everything, your bloods, everything. You know then where you're at if you do decide to go on and change. So fast forward again, I was kind of holding my own, and my sister, my other sister, Liz, who would be older again, she would be 57, and she was going through menopause, so she started to take HRT. So she
said, so the conversation started around.
Okay. So she sent me a symptom checker one day, and she goes, I hate to tell you this, no girl, but she said, you have all of these symptoms.
And you're like,
no one wants to hear it.
Literally. Yeah. So I said, she goes, wait a minute now, girl, I'm going to send you on now the leaflet. So she sent on the leaflet to email. And I remember it was in a car somewhere, and I was going, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So,
brain fog, low mood, sleep,
libido, waking, you know, feeling helplessness, everything that was on it. So in the meantime, right, I developed brain shakes. It's the only way I can describe it. Okay. So it was like electric shocks inside my head. And it got to the point. Now, I never sit down to pain. I have to get up. I just do. I have to, because nothing, my kids have to go to school, work has to be done. So I won't sit down to it. But these brain shakes started messing with my head. And I remember ringing my sister, crying my eyes out, going, what the hell is this? What brain shakes? What the hell? So she was thinking it was because I was coming down off the Cymbala. Mm. If you Google it, it says you can get sensations in your brain.
Okay, so this is like,
So consultant thought, oh, this is another autoimmune here. Now look, let's bring her in. Brought me in, had an EEG done, and I had a sleep study done. Perfect, nothing wrong. But I'm still living with these brain shakes.
And you call them brain shakes, but they're actually on the list, as they call them, electric shock sensations. That's on the list of these perimenopause symptoms, and it's something that I suppose it's not really spoken about because not an awful lot of people have them, but it is a possibility to have them in perimenopause. Yeah.
And I was thinking, I had the shakes in my chest. I had the shakes in my head. And I was thinking, am I actually cracking up? I'd say at this stage, no, my husband.
You would think that, like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people, I was actually afraid to start saying things out loud because the only person I could really talk to was my sisters. Do you know what I mean? Because. Yeah. You know, no, I'm not disrespecting men, and my husband is great, but I think he got to the stage where he was like, oh, Jesus, here we go again, like, you know? And it was starting to frustrate me, going, what the hell is this? So I looked at the symptom checker, and I went, I started going, maybe I don't have autoimmune. Maybe I don't have lupus. Maybe I don't have psoriatic arthritis. Maybe this is all bloody perimenopausal, you know? And because I was told that the fibromyalgia, no, maybe, look, bloods tell you one story, right? And then you have to go about what the person tells you. So, yes, I do reckon there's probably fibromyalgia hanging around because I went through a lot of trauma, right? Mm-hmm. But these brain shakes, the shakes of my body, the joint pain, mm-hmm. the stiffness, the helplessness, the mood changes. I was like, the energy, like, they used to call me a bunny rabbit because I used to be always, come on, hey girls, come on. I'd be always running around the place. And the saddest thing for me, and I know I'd get emotional if I got into it, but the saddest thing for me was not being able to dance again.
Dance is your passion, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I was embarrassed because I put up so much weight. Mm. I felt people were judging me going, stay at her now, and she only did a personal training course for the size of her.
It's funny, and all the things that go around in your head, and people are probably not thinking that they're, you know, yeah. But it's these things that you might be telling yourself, and you're automatically just feeling guilty, but yeah. You know, people don't know what you had possibly been through, and yeah. You've enough going on in your life without worrying yeah. about yeah. that as well. Like, yeah,
I started doing an awful lot. I genuinely started dabbling because I'm so not great with social media. I do Facebook and I'd be kind of messing around with it, but I have a nephew who's got like 6 million followers on Facebook, and probably another billion, I don't know. He's very popular on social media. And I was like, you need to help me here, lad. You know,
I'm from Cork. Is that Cian?
Yeah, that's Cian.
Cian and Emily. Everyone knows them. They love
them. His mum is my sister Liz, who was the one who showed me the symptom checker. And like that, I says, I need to do something. My passion in life is to help other people.
Help others, yeah. We feel the same.
It is genuinely, and I'd do anything if I thought I could help someone. But I think what happened to me is I was trying to fix myself externally instead of fixing myself internally. So I had to deal with what was going on. So I came across E on TikTok. E were coming up on my For You page. Now, again, I didn't clue about For You page. And I was like, these are Irish girls. No, right. And it was Renee. And I remember spotting Renee, and she was talking about Keith for her product. And I went, and I just kind of moved on. And I kind of went, and then I remember Donna, and I was saying, right, okay. So I decided to do a little bit of research there one night, and probably with a glass of wine in my hand now, to be honest. I was going, these are all the things. My other sister, which would be Emily, was like, you need to be taking this, that, zinc, this, all these different things, like ashwagandha, all these things. So she's like research queen. I think she missed her calling. And I was like, these are all in one product. A lot of people and girls I know and women hate taking a bunch of supplements because it's pain in the arse. So I met a beautiful girl called Aoife. I had a holistic shop, right, through the pandemic. So my husband calls me a witch, right? He thinks that I've got special powers, like, because I could have a dream. And he'd say, what? I'd say, I just dreamt of whatever, someone dying. And he'd go, oh, Jesus Christ, watch, no, someone's going to die. And someone would die. So all these stupid things would be happening. And so I decided to stay away. So I started kind of, I used to do tarot cards years ago. So I met with Aoife, and I started getting into touch like myself, so the crystals, and started journaling, and really started being kind to myself. Right, let's go on these supplements, key for her. Let's start journaling. Let's start being nice to Linda for a change instead of being horrible to her, and let's see what happens. So I genuinely, we have to say, hand in heart, overnight, I didn't turn around and go, oh, Jesus, this is great. Everything's starting to fall into place, because it didn't. I decided to kind of keep going with my social media page. So I kind of had to say, you stand back now here and look after Linda, because if I can't look after myself, the kids are going to fall down. So I think if I had any advice to any women out there, stop being hard on yourself. Mm. Please stop being hard. I was so hard on myself. I look at it now that I'm coming up to 49 and I'm saying, crikey, if I could go back to my younger self, I would say three things. Be kind and love yourself so much. Tell yourself every morning how beautiful you are. Sexy. How gorgeous people think you are. That you have a beautiful heart. That you're just a lovely person. Second thing I would say is stop worrying. Yeah. And I know that is easier said, because I have so much to worry about. But so and I still worry. But if I could switch off my worry head, or tell my kids, stop worrying, just stop worrying, you know. And the third thing is be kind to other people. Mm-hmm. Literally be kind, because I always say to my children, be nice to the people that are out there, because you just don't know what's going on around with them.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm on now key for her. So I'm off my Cosentyx injection and I'm on key for her for the past, what, 4 or 5 months?
Yes. And so, because it's last May now. So you're on Keyperian menopause.
Oh, and I'm taking the collagen as well.
And the collagen too.
And you're just about to tell me.
Loves the collagen.
Girls, I tell you now, I've looked 25.
Everyone
has great hair too.
For collagen.
I take collagen. Yeah, we actually went to Spain, and if you saw me, you know, my little bags and my collagen and my key for her, and it's just brilliant that it's 2 tablets.
This podcast is brought to you by our very own brand, Key for Her. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information and insights on keyforher.com.
Please have 20% off on us by using the promo code KEYPODCAST in all capitals.
I've kind of come to the stage now, and don't get me wrong, now I still have my days where I'm, like, I give you an example. This morning, my back literally went, because I've got a lot of bulging discs, and I went, my husband is away on business, so I would have given anything just to stay in bed. I don't think I've ever done that, probably once or twice, and I went, no. Who's going to drive him to school? There's no local bus. So I said, I have to get out. So I have to keep pushing myself.
Yeah.
So I think pushing yourself, no, do the best you can for yourself at that particular day, but be bloody kind. So I literally got up and I'm not joking now, but if you look at my me and my disease page, you'll see one of the photographs that I was very vulnerable in. I took a photograph of it. The girls were probably mortified. I just said, if I can help another person out there, then so be it. My stomach was literally, it was like I was carrying twins, right? Literally, my stomach is so big. And I was told I have swollen bowels and you have this wrong with you and you have that wrong with you and you have IBS and you have all this. And bottom line, if you look up one of the perimenopausal symptoms checker again, you'll find that bloatness is a massive thing. Now, obviously, I'll never have a flat stomach because I do cesareans, you know, but equally, you know, if there's women out there that, you know, are sitting down going, oh, I'm ugly and I'm this and I'm that, all I'm going to say is please, and I'm proof, right? I'm proof. I literally stand in front of the mirror now and my stomach is deformed. It is deformed, but that stomach got me 2 beautiful children.
That's you know? The way to look at it. I know. Yeah,
I totally agree. Yeah, I'm actually doing all right for someone that's nearly 49. Yeah. What I am going to do is I've signed up, just my sister Emily told me to do this. So I was very conscious of teaching dance because I can't actually move as much as I used to. Can't really move at all, to be honest, but I know I will one day. I know I'll get back to the better person that Linda was back into, you know, 2013, 2014. And I remember my sister saying to me, why don't you just sign up, there's a dance course, it's called Figure Eight, right? And it's all about just small movements, but it's a laugh, right? Yeah. And I think it's a laugh and it's for...
Maybe that's what you're missing from the dance that you used to like. It wasn't just the dance itself. Oh. Maybe it was the sense of community and having the crack.
It was just having the crack. It was just so much fun. So she said, I'm sure I can't stand it, but it's staying with me. And then, Linda, there's women out there that are real women, that this social media crap that is, you know, putting girls out there that they're not happy, you know, they're airbrushed, they're this, that, and the next. Go and do your course. And she said, if you have to go online and do free classes, like, it's not about the money for me. It's about motivating and helping people to feel alive. And that just because you're coming up to 50 or you're in menopause or perimenopause, who gives a shite? You're still a woman. You have so much life left inside you, for the love of God.
Exactly. There's so much life to live. Like, you know, we're living longer than ever. And we might as well, you know, enjoy it and make 100%. The best of it. And I think another thing in perimenopause and menopause, women stop giving a shit. And you know, they tend to not t- take any shit anymore. And they're just like, listen, this is time for me. I don't care. Or I want to do X, Y, and Z. Or else they might take up a hobby or take something back up again that they used to really like. Right. And they probably put it on the back burner because life got in the way and they might have had kids or they might be looking after other people or whatever it is. But it's time to kind of reassess about, you know, what you're passionate about and what you really want to do. And you can find this whole new sense of joy in your life.
Absolutely. And even talking to you, you know, even if there's women out there that want to set up stuff, you know, I set up my disease page because I'm trying to go on a journey where, you know, if it's someone that's sitting at home, even if it's one person that I can put a smile on or says, Jesus Christ, I feel like that now today. Mm-hmm. Or, oh my God, I often look to myself in the mirror and I went, oh, the state of me. You know, our people are out there and they don't want to get intimate with their husband. Do you know what? At the end of the day, like, you've only one life, do you know? That's and it. Women are great for making excuses. Oh, I can't. And this is me. I was the biggest excuser. Oh, I can't do that now because I have to collect her or I have to do this or I can't because they're staying in my legs. All crap. Just go and do it. Follow your life so that you're having the best way you can get over something is by having fun. And smiling and laughing.
Put yourself out there and just feel the fear and do it anyway, isn't that the thing?
Just do what you want to do and smile and be happy. And just, I'm so glad that she asked me to come on because I think this, what you've done is you've made people feel, and women go, I'm actually not the only one that actually feels like this. There's actually other people, and with your I don't care. I'm to say it as it is. I'd be very blunt. I genuinely do think your products are amazing. You know, I do because my sister only said to me the other day, she goes, come here. She goes, there's a bit of a bounce back in your voice. You know, because sometimes she could ring me and I'd be like, I'm not able now for today. But there is that bit of a spark. There's that energy that's coming back into me. Would I be 100% with food? No, not yet. But listen, we had the summer. We've now the kids gone back to school. You know,
I'm time to get back into routine and stuff like that. Yeah,
routine and consistency is key. And I'm after accepting, and I can now look at myself in the mirror and say, do you know what? You did an alright job, girl. You know, and that's what I want women to actually empower themselves. And, you know, remember, a confident woman is a powerful woman.
Yes.
Can take on anything, you know, anything that life throws you, that woman can take on. And obviously with the support of, like, I have two lovely sisters that, you know, I'm very fortunate with. But yeah,
I think that's really important, having someone that you can trust, that you can communicate with properly, because sometimes for some women that is their husband or their partner. But for other people, it might be their best friend or their sisters as well. Some of them feel like they don't want to communicate with their partner about what they're going through. But I think it is really important to have that conversation so they don't feel as isolated, you know. And
100%.
And I suppose they probably are thinking, oh, he's not going to find me attractive anymore if I tell him what's really going on. But really, it could actually make your bond better because he feels like you're being more open and honest. But you're lucky that you have it, you know, with your sisters as well. And they've been through it and you can all help and support each other.
Absolutely. For us, Key for Her
started with us opening and having honest conversations with each other and how we actually felt. Yeah. And those conversations went dark at points, and from that grew this. And so, like you said, if we can just help one or two people every day with these videos we put out and try to help in any way that we can, then we've done a good job. That's the way we feel.
Oh, you should be proud of yourselves, girls. I mean that because, you know, it takes courage, and it does take courage to actually set up a business. And you're always going to have stuff in your head going, what if, what if, what if? Mm-hmm. We've done it, and you're out there, and people talk about G, and I'm always telling people about G, and, you know, telling my experience. And
what other benefits have you noticed? Like, did it help improve your sleep or your hair, skin and nails, or anything else that you noticed?
I get my nails.
Your nails are fabulous, by the way.
They're not my own. I suppose for me, the reason I got my nails done right is because my hands are very swollen. So my wedding rings, my original wedding rings, don't fit me. So my husband bought me another set of rings and they actually don't fit me. So I kind of got the nails done for me because it makes my hands look a little bit. To me, they do anyway.
They look fabulous.
Thank you.
Well, you see them so much all the time. It's nice to do something nice yourself, get your nails done.
Your hair is so long.
My hair has been done out tomorrow because it's a bit grey, but that's okay too. So this is all my own hair. What I found going back, say, maybe a year and a half ago, is my hair, if I brushed it, there was a lot of hair on the brush.
Yeah.
So, me being me, I was like, Jesus, I'm not going to focus in on that now because that can only make me paranoid. And I was thinking, was it the medication side of things or whatever? I'm hopeless with hair. I had two girls and they used to go out to school with one like that and then another over this side down here. I was shocking with managing my hair. So when I started taking the key for her, again, it was very subtle. But my hairdresser comes to my house because she's my friend. And she was like, girl, what are you doing with your hair? Right. And I was like, why? And she said the thickness. No, I'd have a lot of hair, but it would be very fine. Yeah. So I was like, that must be the key for her in my head, you know? So I was like, I'm just taking a supplement called Key for Her. Why? And she was like, the thickness of it, the quality of it. You know what? Now it's down my back, like it's pretty long. And my hair is my crowning glory. So I said, I'm so happy to actually hear that. Again, my skin tone has got better. Energy. I see a big difference in my energy because I run around a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would consider myself a kind of a highly stressed person. I'm laughing because I'm thinking of my sister going, yes, you're very stressed. But I'm always on the road. I'm always driving.
Yeah, you never stop. Yeah.
I never stop. And I like being like that because I don't genuinely think, right, that I'd be able to do that if I wasn't on the supplements. And I'm not just saying that. I mean that. When I was on holidays, there were steps, a lot of steps. Now, bear in mind, if you went back a few years and I couldn't walk across the road with my husband, so I looked at the steps inside the villa and I went, up and down the steps for 2 weeks constantly.
Not a bother. Well done.
bother. And I was so proud of myself. And the more steps I was doing, the more I wanted to do. So I was thinking, okay, listen, Linda's coming back here now slowly. So listen, if it's anything, I'm only on them since May. Imagine me in another 6 months. You know, I'm consistent every day, lads. I do not miss a dose.
That's really important. Story. Yeah.
I'm delighted that they're working so well for you and that you're starting to feel like you're getting your old self back again.
Yeah. Well, I hope. I actually hope to get back now on the social media. Because I have a little bit more time in the morning. Get back on the social media. Do this dance course. Get my classes up online. I don't care what I look like. Yes, I've probably about 4 stone to lose realistically. Yeah, set a goal. You know, my goal now currently at the moment is to get this course finished and put myself first. And literally, as I said earlier, if I could give myself any piece of advice, be kind and, you know, every day I don't give it. Like this, like some days I get up there and I feel chronic, but I still look in the mirror and go, girl, you look fine. Do you know what I mean? You do, even if you don't.
You know, I believe it when I hear you saying it.
Yeah, you do. Christ, like, I'd give any young one a run for the money in another 2 weeks. So I'd be flying. So look, hopefully, if you know, even by Christmas, I see another few benefits that are going to, you know, coming down the road. I know that I need to lose weight. I know that will come off. But you know when it'll come off? When I relax. And yes. I've accepted now where I'm at for now. Have fun and look back on your life and say, do you know what? I need to laugh. That's all you need to do.
Fill up your own cup.
Exactly. And like that, everyone in life goes through crap. Everyone has crosses to bear and some more than others. But if it's any consolation, you know, you will get through it. And it's for that time. It's all temporary, you know. And I often, like people would say to me, you know, one thing after another, Linda's happening. And I'm there going, obviously, it's the universe challenging me to make me a stronger person. And that's
Aren't you strong? I think we're an awful lot stronger than
women are, really. Yeah. Women are brilliant.
Well, maybe
women
you had poor. To go through all of that to help all the women that you're helping. So fair play to you, Linda. You're an absolute inspiration. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for having me on. You're a great bunch of girls. I think you're fantastic what you're doing. So keep it up, you know. Keep it up. Same to you.
Before we go, I suppose we kind of covered it in the podcast, but like your three key tips, what would they be to other women?
Okay, so anyone that's out there that's worried about going on supplements and taking HRT at the same time, do not. Get onto Renee and get onto Donna. They're absolutely fantastic. I think I've seen a benefit. I've been told I've got several autoimmunes. So, you know, there is people out there that need medication. So take the medication if you need to take it, but also take the supplements and see. Just give it a go. You've nothing to lose. Second tip. Look at yourself in the mirror as much as you can and tell yourself you're beautiful and that today is going to be a good day. You know, that's all you need to say. Today is going to be a good day. And the third and final one, I suppose, a mixed one, is to go easy on yourself. Stop giving yourself a hard time and just eat the best way you can. Because you must remember, food can heal the body as well.
Yes.
So eat as healthy as you can. And enjoy life and have fun. And don't forget to follow me. these classes will be going live and they will be going out. And if I can help one person, fantastic.
Well, please help me move more. I'm joining up to the class.
Exactly. And it's all about smiling and having fun. So, yeah, that's it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Linda.
Listen, thanks, girls. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Key for Her podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could hit subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends.
For tips, tricks, and hacks on all things perimenopause, menopause, periods, menstrual cycles, and skin health, follow us at Key for Her on TikTok and Instagram.
Check out our website, keyforher.com, for more information.